In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we continue these services, we hear God's word from Paul's letter to Galatians, from chapter 3, first 8 verses. And these words are in Jesus' name. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Okay. In these opisto services in Reisjärvi, in many sermons, has been talked about how only one thing saves a person: God's grace work that He has prepared in Jesus Christ. I thought about, while listening to those many sermons, I thought that maybe I should switch this Bible portion, but I thought that there's a reason that God sees it is necessary to speak about, that there is only faith like there's one Lord. There's the way of life, and there's the other way that doesn't lead to life, but to destitution, and also of that this faith that saves. It is that this faith that saves is it's not cooperation between a person and a God, but it's only God's work. In our time and almost always, it's thought that if we try to live good and noble life, surely God will measure and good deeds will be rewarded. Doesn't that sound reasonable if we think this as a person or through our own rationality? That man who tries his best, he tries to live in a good way and according to God's will, shouldn't that be enough? In God's word, In the Holy Bible, it's told God's salvation plan, which has been prepared by God, not prepared by us people. It's God's own plan. In that plan, the most important thing, the Lord and Lord of the Bible, Jesus Christ's life, and before that, the promise of Jesus Christ, Christ's life and death and joyous resurrection, through which Jesus saved sinful men for himself, but also atoned their sins before God. Only this righteousness, only this grace work can save a person to eternal life. We can also ask, do we have something to do with Christ's life, suffering, life, and resurrection? Of that perfectness, we cannot attain the perfectness. Our part is that Jesus has, for my sins' sake, suffered torture and ridicule on the cross in Golgotha. He died. He died that death that was meant for mankind after Adam's sinfall. And he fulfilled God's will. He was faithful to God until the end. We have only to give. We can only bring our own sins to be atoned. We have nothing else to give so that we could be saved. We are only receivers to receive and own through faith this grace and safety that Christ has made perfect for us. Sometime in a confirmation school, I've tried to describe that bank balance is like, in itself it's nothing. It's only list of numbers before there were bank slips. But this bank balance, it has nothing in itself, but if you put money on that bank balance, it's preserved in that bank balance. You can go and buy some candy with that money if you want. But for us believer, faith is means. Faith is like that bank balance that preserves Christ's merit works and salvation. Through faith, we receive God's perfect atonement work as a gift. Bible also describes us that there's two pathways to heaven, but truly there's only one way. Because if a man could live like Jesus, after God's will perfectly, that is the second way. But on the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus describes that humans wrong thought is sin. We remember what Jesus said about speaking ill about one's own brother, or lusting after someone else's spouse. Then has a person fallen into sin. And if you, dear listener, think about your own life, your own endeavor, have you ever thought, have you ever fallen in your own thoughts? Have you ever, when getting angry, have you had wrong thoughts or wrong words? There's not a one person that can fulfill God's demanding law. And here Paul asks believers of Galatia that after you have heard gospel, the word of salvation, word of gospel through which they have attained faith and forgiveness of sin, they have also received the gift of Holy Spirit. He asked why they have chosen a different path. Listen how Paul says. You foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Paul tells Galatians that something has made you leave the way of life and go to the way of deeds. You are bewitched. How could something like this have happened? Jesus in Matthew's Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 says, about the sowing of word that God does through his servants, all that man sowed a good seed to his field, but when everyone was sleeping, enemy came and saw bad seed on that field. This has happened also in Galatia. There has an enemy had come and sown a bad seed on that field. First, God gave life to that new faith, but after some time, enemy came and started sowing different weed to that field. Seed of falsehood, envy, and sin. How familiar is this to a believer? If you have, maybe you have received the grace of repentance just recently and you have had good feelings and you have had thoughts that you would like to tell about this marvelous thing to your friends and relatives, that you all things are good and your sins are forgiven. In my own family, this good news have been heard. But there might happen also, and we could say that there will happen, that God's adversary comes to sow his seed of doubt. But if you have no strength to believe, do you remember about the things of your old life? Are you sure that all your sins are forgiven? You haven't confessed all your sins that you have done. you can't make it to the heaven's home and so on. Enemy of soul could be said that he has a doctor's thesis in lying and many master's work in this deceit. He has many ways to lure a person. He is very easy to lie. Bible tells that enemy of soul is father of lies, but I would like to tell you. And every child of God who has doubted, I like to say like that, that one believing father told his daughter, who was afraid, and she longed for forgiveness of all sins, but she doubted that if she might stay a believer. The father asked, would you like to believe this evening? It is enough that you believe right now. We need to believe day by day, and God will take care of us. And you, doubting travel friend, at the beginning of this sermon, you can believe all doubts and enemy of soul's ensnarements forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You can rejoice of your faith and be of good cheer, and remember that God is the one who gives faith and preserves our faith. In this Bible portion, as a background, we should remember that this place Galatia, there were also those pagan Christians who hadn't been Jewish before, and there was also Jewish Christians who had also believed gospel. And if we think we are, after that same logic, we are pagan Christians because I doubt many of us are persons of Jewish nations. But Paul reminds us that the true people of promise who together with Abraham inherit are those who believe this verse 7. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Not those who are genetic relatives of Abraham, but those who are relatives through faith, and they have same faith. In this last verse, it said that all nations will be blessed through you, and reminds about the promise made to Abraham that that together with his offerings, all nations will be blessed through you, also Finns, also us. But those Jewish people, they had learned from their childhood the law of Moses, the old scriptures of the Old Testament, and some had begun to teach and demand that only believing in the gospel isn't enough, that we also need to follow the law, that those Gentile Christians, they need to become Jewish also. At least the men need to have themselves circumcised, and they also need to follow the law of Moses. It's a very in the point of view of the Jewish Christians, it's a very human thing to think. Many of the disciples were Jewish. Like Christ was Jewish. He went to synagogues. He said that there won't be, not a morsel of law will be taken away, and he also fulfilled the law. But in this letter to Galatians, Paul says that these two things cannot be combined, and they shouldn't be combined. Living through grace and being under the law. Last evening, Marco Brothers' evening devotion, I remember that how God's creation in the matters of faith, God is a God of order. That is, things are almost always yes or no. There's faith or unbelief. There's living through grace or living under law. And Christ's atonement work is so perfect. There's nothing else that man can add to that. And there's also, we shouldn't and we can't take anything away from Christ's atonement work. And you, when you, dear listener, and when you own the Christ prepared righteousness, own true faith, that is enough for salvation. So the Word of God teaches us. And we can also ask, why so many times? In sermons and with speaking with people or in a Sunday school, it's taught that we must endeavor. If God has prepared everything and man can't do anything, is it in vain to endeavor? Can I do sin if I just believe? Let's stay a while before the word love and ask you what word law means to you and what is the first thing that comes to your mind. For some reason, for me, into my mind come police. Police in their shoulder patch in Finland. They have a sword with a lion's head. The government has this sword, and it makes sure that law is followed. But I also, when I think about police, when I drove home from opisto, and the police came before me, and I just looked at my speedometer to look if I had gone over the speed limit. There's also the fear of persecution, and I thought if I should have my priest clothes on, so I could have slipped away. Years ago, in Jyväskylä, I had a doing my work and was driving home. I have a very bad habit that I don't really. I sometimes listen to radio or do something other stupid. And I was looking for a good radio station, and my car started to swerve. And there was a police car behind me, and it shows me two lights and showed me that I should stop on the side of the road. That is, it was end of the summer, and I remember that police constable with a very powerful flashlight and asked, "Priest, where are you coming from?" and I say it from christening. And we look like that when the car swerves from side of the road to other side, and he thought, should we do a breathalyzer test? I had a good conscience because I didn't have any problem to do the breathalyzer test. And the police was a little bit. She said that we need to do breathalyzer test to everyone, also priests. And then police wished me safety ride home, and I told them to have a safe ride home. Law also preserve us here in Reisjärvi so that we can gather here in services. We have freedom of religion. Law is makes that sure. We have freedom to gather. That's also assured by law, that we have freedom of speech. We can teach as we believe. God, law makes this possible. Think how thankful we can be of such a society that we have laws like this. There are believers in nation that don't have laws like this. Just a short while ago, I heard from a brother about mission work that is done through Kingdom of Peace, about the Indian family who found God's kingdom and they received the grace of the repentance. But after receiving this grace of repentance, they had to right away flee their home village. Okay, in the middle of the jungle, far away from their home, they gather to listen to some services from Loppi. They didn't have laws like this that made sure that they can freely believe. What is the reason for us to follow the temporal law? It is the fear of consequence. Or is it something else? Why there are laws? Let's not dwell in this, but in democratic societies like us, we have chosen ourselves members of parliament who make laws, and we also have public servants who prepare laws, and they make sure that laws are followed. There are judges and other kinds of bailiffs and police and other people. But there's also, and society will give you in my own sake, I would like to think that the motivation to follow the law is because I am a believer. God's grace teaches us to do right, because even though a believer person isn't under the law, Bible clearly says it's the end of the law for everyone, for every people who believe. When one can own Christ's righteousness, that gives birth to love. Then, like Galatians, they had received Holy Spirit that began to teach them in their own hearts. And this grace that one has been able to experience, and it leads a person to choose according to God's will. In the Bible, it's said that some people are children of God and inheritors of God, and others are slaves. Person who is in the world is a slave of sin. And when you think about your own father and mother, and mother's teaching, sometimes they may feel like dull and wrong. But in believer's heart, God's voice says that we should do as mother teaches us, or as law tells us to do. It's also so that God's law of Ten Commandments, it's called the law of life. It helps the people temporarily to get along with each other, live securely. And it's the basis for temporal law. It's based on Ten Commandments: do not kill, do not steal, do not give false witness of your neighbor. We find these things from the temporal law of our nation. And it's also that are not as themselves law. When we have had this, we prepared these services, we have provided security plans and maps and first aid and fire safety stuff. We have to provide to authorities. If some here in the services had decided that they had pony riding, authorities could say that that's not a good idea, or hot balloon flying or something like that. Authorities would say that that's not a good idea. And to fly those hot balloons on Monday, if you have those hot balloons. Authorities do the work that is good for people, even if it doesn't feel like that at the moment. But the law that Paul speaks of, the most important thing is God's spiritual law. Our catechism teaches us a good way what is the purpose of law. In catechism tells one point of law, is about spiritual law, which tells us good and wrong, what is sin, what isn't sin. God's law demands us truth and righteousness and purity in our own thoughts, in our words and deeds. And most importantly, law demands that we love God above anything else, and our neighbors as we love ourselves. Have we been successful in these things? I like to think that there hasn't been successes, and therefore, because law, so maybe in a sermon that I have transgressed against God, transgressed against a neighbor, I have unforgiven sins in my consciousness. Some make me anxious. I don't have peace of God in my heart, about which there's in these services and summer service radio, there has been a lot spoken about. Many maybe have thought that where could I find this peace? And you will get this peace from the gospel. Law wakes up a feel of sin, and law drives us towards Christ. Therefore, in these services, time and time again, for sinful person, sins are proclaimed forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. It's the most important and most precious thing. It's God's own promise. And this power of this forgiveness is the Christ's holy name and that atonement blood that he has shed for us. And this wondrous grace of repentance, man goes from under the law to under grace. Law doesn't make one timid anymore. I think that here in this tent and here in this service area are those who have felt the grace of repentance. What kind of freedom it gives when one believes one's sins forgiven and true and begins to believe through grace. My father-in-law, when he was 15 years old in the confirmation school, he was with a tender heart, and he knew that there are believers on that place, and he received the strength to go ask for possibility to have his sins been forgiven. He had in his mind, he had made a list of all his sins so that he could confess all sins that he had fell into. And he later told me how beautiful and wondrous thing it was that there were, my sins went asked after. He didn't have to remember or confess his sins. He only needed to ask if he could believe his sins forgiven. And in gospel, all sins were forgiven. And this healthy grace of God teaches child of God. There's no need to live after the law, but it teaches us to battle against sin through God's grace. With a thought like that, believer doesn't have to feel the conscious that therefore I want to believe with a poor and undefiled consciousness. I want to hear God's word every day and live every day through God's grace, that it would happen that I would become tired in my faith. For us, it has been given so precious gifts. We have connection between believers. We have gift of confession. We can in prayer ask for strength, and we can ask gospel as many times as we want and believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Before this plentiful table or this treasure chest God has given to his people, and we want to endeavor so that this demand of law wouldn't come to our hearts like it had happened to those Galatians, so that we wouldn't begin to demand from us or other believers a specific way of life, a specific decisions and so on. Even back then, many cultures, many different cultures differed between believers. There were many food customs and different customs of clothing, different holidays. But according to Paul, it isn't the most important thing, but the most important thing is the faith that affects love. The sins that endanger every believer, and there's also things that are good to spoke about and think what God teaches and ask. Just do they take us nearer to God, or the natural things, or are they taking us away from God and tempting us into sin? And first of all, we need God's gracious mind, so that we can, with grace, we could teach each other that and encourage each other to believe. We should remember that Father's words, that even to this night you can believe. Dear listener, as you find yourself maybe tempted and maybe times like this, enemy has affected same things in you that has come to Galatians. You might have become mellow toward a believer who doesn't live the same way as you. Sin has affected hardness in your heart. This might also happen to us. We start to watch other people than our own hearts. We start to watch others' sins and fallings, and become hardened. You can also believe things like this, forgiven, like the sinful life that is easily attaches us, and it's luring us away from God's kingdom. So remain, dear Yad and older friend, in Jesus' name and blood, you can believe, all your sins forgiven. You can freely believe freely and be of good cheer, and also like to ask, can I still believe, my sins forgiven? It's good to believe with free mind towards heaven's home. In Jesus' name, amen. Sermon by Harri Vähäjylkkä.